Good morning, everybody. So originally, our brother Kevin Hong was scheduled to give this devotional, but as you may have heard, our Montreal missions team, which he is a part of, unfortunately had their van broken into, and many of their belongings were stolen, including Kevin's laptop. Please keep them in your prayers. As a result, an impromptu devotional will be shared by yours truly, and although it certainly won't be as polished as the one Kevin had in store, I hope you can still be blessed by the word of God even still. So let's turn to Hebrews 7, and I'll read that for us. Hebrews 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything. He is first, by translation of his name, king of righteousness. And then he is also king of Salem, that is, king of peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. See how great this man was to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the spoils. And those descendants of Levi who receive the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers, though these also are descended from Abraham. But this man who does not have his descent from them received tithes from Abraham, and blessed him who had the promises. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. In the one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than one named after the order of Aaron? For when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. For the one of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe, from which no one has ever served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, and in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest, not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. For it is witnessed of him, "You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." For on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced, through which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath, for those who formerly became priests were made such without an oath. But this one was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office, but he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. Amen. Now, I wish I had the time to walk through this entire chapter verse by verse, thought by thought with you all, because I think that here you really get a taste of the masterpiece that is the book of Hebrews. It really is just amazing stuff. It's pure heavenly revelation. We could talk about it all day, and I encourage you, if you're able to sit down today at all and really chew on any passage in Scripture, this is the one. Now, unfortunately for our devotional, we don't have all day. And so I'll try to give you an incredibly truncated version for us. But really, you'll do it much better justice just by going back and taking some time to study it. Anyway, Hebrews 7 points to a character in the Old Testament named Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a mysterious priest and king who Abraham comes across, and Melchizedek blesses Abraham, and Abraham in return gives a tithe to him. The author of Hebrews also points to Psalm 110, where God swears an oath that the Messiah would be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And these two events are brought together by the author to show that with Melchizedek, God introduces a better priest who takes part in a better covenant and thus brings to us a better hope. And Jesus is the ultimate realization and the origin of this amazing paradigm shift that is introduced through Melchizedek. The better priest, the better covenant, the better hope. The author of Hebrews wants us to know with certainty that through Jesus, there is a better hope. And this hope was part of God's plan from the beginning. Even all the way back in Abraham's time, God was putting into motion a reality that would facilitate the substitutionary atonement and reconciliation that would be given us by Jesus. We have a better hope. Not one that's contingent on us doing our part or holding up our end of the bargain. No, it's one that stretches across time, across scripture, all to ensure that we have eternal life in Him. Let's choose to hope in Jesus, our great high priest this morning, to have a better hope that is founded on the sacrifice of Jesus. A sacrifice that will never run out, that will never fade away. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you made a way for us. We thank you that we don't have to rely on the Levitical sacrifices or the priests or any of this stuff that isn't founded on your grace, on your everlasting forgiveness. Lord, we thank you for the work that you did on the cross. We thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus made so that we may have life eternal. Lord, I pray that as we reflect on this, that it can truly transform our thoughts, our understanding of the world around us. And I pray that we give you all glory today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.